We're going to have our Bible reading for this morning, and as I reflected on coming together for the first time after the lockdown, my mind went to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." So reads the word of God this morning. Let us turn to Psalm 122 for our message this morning. And I do pray that as we go away this morning, these words in verse 1, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord," may resonate in our hearts. We're not given great detail as to the setting of this psalm, but there are one or two things that we can say as a background to it. In 2 Samuel in chapter 5, we see King David taking the city of Jerusalem. And in the very next chapter, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we see David erecting the tabernacle in Jerusalem for the worship of God there. And we see the Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence being brought into the tabernacle. And so it was sometime after that that David penned this psalm. David had been away from Jerusalem. Perhaps he had been away on a conquest. Perhaps during the rebellion of Absalom. But now the opportunity had come for him to return to Jerusalem. But listen to what David's friends say to him. They said in verse 1, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Let us go into the house of the Lord. It wasn't just the city of Jerusalem that was an attraction to them. It wasn't just the thought of going home, because many of them lived in Jerusalem, that was the attraction to them. No, what they really wanted to do was to go into the house of their God. And David wanted to be there too. And so he writes, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And eventually this psalm became one of the psalms that the Jewish pilgrims sang as they made their way to Jerusalem to worship at the great feasts in the tabernacle. Now for us this morning, although this building is just a building, because it's where we worship, I wonder if you feel a tiny bit like David did this morning. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." But what was it that made the temple so special, so important to David and his friends? I'm going to suggest a number of reasons that I will refer back to as we continue. Firstly, it was important because this was the meeting place that God had designed and had built, where he would meet with his people and where he had called them to gather for the great feasts of the Jewish year. It was the tent of meeting where God met with his people. It was important too because when they gathered here in the tabernacle, they were reminded that they were part of something much bigger than themselves, much bigger than their families, bigger than their tribes. They were the people of God. They were the people of God. And each of the feasts that they held throughout the year was a reminder to them that they were God's chosen people and that he had had dealings with them right through their history. But that was not the end of the story. As they gathered, they were reminded that he still loved them, that he still cared for them, that he still had a special plan and purpose for them. Yes, God was their great creator, and his ways were higher than their ways, and his thoughts higher than their thoughts. And yet this great God had dealings with them, past, present, future. It was important too because the building was designed in such a way that it showed them how God had provided a way for sinful human beings to be reconciled to him. And so as they surveyed the scene of the tabernacle, the first thing that would have caught their eye was the bronze altar. And why was there an altar? Because God had provided a way for them to be reconciled to him. God had provided a way for sinful people to be reconciled to him, their holy God. And so each year, on the Day of Atonement, a priest would sacrifice an animal on the altar for the sins of his people. And then he would carry the blood of the sin offering through the tent of meeting to the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was found. The Ark of the Covenant contained God's law that God's people regularly failed to obey and in fact condemned them. But over the Ark of the Covenant was a covering, a lid, called the atonement cover, or the mercy seat. And on that day of atonement, the priest would sprinkle the atonement cover with the blood of the animal sacrificed for the sin of the people. And through the blood of the sacrifice made on their behalf, the people were reconciled to God. And that pointed forward to the way in which both they and we may be reconciled to God and enjoy fellowship with God forever, through the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus. As Paul writes in Romans 3, "For there is no difference," and that by that he means whether believing Jews or non-Jews, "for there is no difference, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith." In other words, God gave us Jesus, who died shedding his blood for our sin, who died in our place so that we might be reconciled to him forever. Can we all thank God for that this morning? This place, the tabernacle, was important too, because here the people were encouraged to come and inquire of the Lord. And last but not least, here the people enjoyed fellowship with one another. Indeed, the fellowship began long before they arrived in Jerusalem. They used to travel in groups of people, whole villages perhaps. And from the time the pilgrims said, "Let's go," and they set out for Jerusalem, there was a sense of togetherness and of community. Travelling with their families, their friends, and their neighbours. You get a glimpse of this in the story of Joseph and Mary travelling with Jesus to the Feast of Passover, and going back as well. Because you remember, on their way back, Joseph and Mary didn't notice that Jesus wasn't with them. Why was that? Because there was such a sense of fellowship and community, and everybody was mingling, that they just assumed that he was with others in the crowd who were returning from the feast. And so there was also this wonderful sense of fellowship in the tabernacle. But although there was this great sense of fellowship as they travelled, it was actually when they were together in the tabernacle, celebrating one of the great feasts of the Old Testament, that their oneness in God was most clearly seen. And I just reflected as I prepared for this morning, is that true of us when we meet for the Lord's Supper? The greatest sense of togetherness is when we meet together in Christ in that way. Jerusalem, and especially the house of the Lord, were a delight to David and his friends. And so there's little wonder that David writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" And that is only surpassed by the sheer excitement that we find in verse 2, when they are actually there in the city. And David writes, "Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." We're actually here. It's been a long, tedious journey, but we're here. And it's exciting to be here in Jerusalem and to be here in the city where God's temple is. In verses 3-5, despite its shortcomings, David portrays Jerusalem that is a city that is compact together. Not simply to show that the houses were built closely together, but because there was a real sense of community. It was also a place of thanksgiving and justice. The thrones of the house of David were there. The supreme courts of justice were there. It was a place of togetherness. It was a place of justice. And then in verses 6-9, David prays for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom. A word that conveys wholeness or completeness, soundness, health, safety, prosperity. As we see in verses 6 and 7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. David wanted all the good things that he saw in Jerusalem to continue. But why was that? Because as we see in verse 8, he wanted it to continue for the sake of his brethren and companions. But he also wanted it to continue, as we see in verse 9, because the house of the Lord was there. How pleased David was to be back in Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord. But what is this psalm to say to us today? I believe it has something to say about our present, and it has something to say about our future. The writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12 and verse 22, mirrors aspects of this psalm when he writes, "But you have come to Mount Zion." You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, you've arrived. You've arrived. If you're in Christ, you've arrived in the city. By faith, you have entered the house of God. You belong there forever. The Apostle Paul helps his Gentile readers understand something of this when he writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through to 22, these words. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together to be a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. God has called us to be his temple, Here in Ephesians, the physical temple, the physical tabernacle temple gives way to a holy temple, made up of people, compacted, gathered together, fitted together to be a dwelling place in which God dwells by his Spirit. For even where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And as a body of believers, we have the potential of bearing all the hallmarks of the Old Testament tabernacle temple. Why? Because one, that teaches, as a body of believers, we teach and demonstrate that sinful men and women can be reconciled to God through the sacrifice that God has provided. His own dear Son, who died as an atoning sacrifice for us all. And because when we come together, we are reminded that we are part of something greater. We're not just to be wrapped up within ourselves, not just wrapped up within our family, not just wrapped up in our immediate community. We are part of the family of God. We are members of the kingdom of God forever. And also it's an opportunity to come together as he is instructed. But most wonderful of all, God is here with us. God is here with us. As I mentioned a moment ago, where two or three gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. And in addition to that vertical fellowship that we can have with God, we can have horizontal fellowship with one another. And you know, despite all the government regulations that interrupts the level of fellowship that we can enjoy, that can go on in all sorts of ways. Telephone calls, emails, and so on. And then secondly, I believe this passage has something to say about our future. Let me turn you to Revelation and chapter 21 and verses 2 through to 4. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Jesus is coming again to usher in the kingdom of God in all its fullness. And dear friends, by God's grace, we will be a part of it. We will be a part of this new Jerusalem. And on that day, as Jesus ushers in that kingdom, on that day, we will bless those who said to us, let us go into the house of our God. We will be so grateful. As in verse 2, we will marvel that our feet are standing within the gates of heaven. It will be so marvelous. we will rejoice that our King has brought an end to all hostility, and perfect peace and righteousness reigns. And at this time, all the hallmarks of Psalm 122 will be seen in perfection. No longer will there be a need to preach the gospel, but Jesus will see of the fruit of the travail of his soul and will be satisfied as each one of his children, despite all that we know about ourselves, are presented without fault and without blemish before God's throne. And we will see that we are part of something much bigger. For we will be part of a multitude that no man can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, languages, gathered before the throne and before the Lamb of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Yes, God himself will be with us forever. And what about the fellowship? It will be sublime. It will be total, Christ-centered fellowship. This morning, by God's grace, can we anticipate that? I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Amen.